Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, July 3rd. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, fears of further gridlock as more homes are planned for part of Medway. Our Folkestone mum urges others to know the signs of diabetes, and we hear from the Kent woman hoping to change opinions on bully breed dogs. But first, it's feared water companies could struggle to cope with the hot weather this summer following supply issues already in various parts of Kent. South East Water say high demand over the last couple of weeks has led to a pressure problem at one of their sites. It left 7,000 homes in Herne Bay without water on Tuesday, and thousands more were affected in Whitstable and Sea Salter yesterday. Naomi Smith is a local Labour councillor.
The summer has only just started, and I am very concerned that this, you know, I was going to say it's a creaking infrastructure, but it's not even there, it's a broken infrastructure.
South East Water in particular is asking people to make sure they're not using water when they don't need to. They're saying only essential use at the moment, cooking, cleaning and of course, drinking. Do you think that message needs to be maybe accepted by people a bit more? Do you think people just need to get on board with that?
I think it's difficult because I think people feel that the bills have gone up, they're not getting the service that they want, and they're being told that they can't, you know, it is a difficult dilemma. And I can understand why people feel... Some people feel stop it, but we do have to work together as a community and conserve the water that we have. It is a precious commodity. And I think the fact that we mix drinking water and grey water together, where we could use our grey water much better for things like, you know, watering our gardens, etc., and keep, and, you know, flushing the toilet, but we don't really do that. So it's just not brilliant the way we deal with water in the UK.
Well, we've asked South East Water for an interview. In the meantime, we have had a statement from incident manager Nick Bell, who says 4,000 customers in Whitstable and Sea Salter may still be experiencing intermittent supply. He goes on to confirm at the time of recording today's podcast, they'd opened a bottled water station at the Sainsbury's in Chestfield. And he concludes by saying they're continuing to use tankers to inject water into the network to support the Whitstable area and get drinking water back to customers as soon as possible. He's also apologised for the inconvenience.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, and this is one of our most read stories on the website. A motorcyclist has died and a woman's been arrested following a crash in a village near Canterbury. Nicola joins me now with more on this story. Nicola, what have police told us?
Well, they say the collision happened on Stone Street in Stenning Minas just before 11:30 last night. A black Ford Fiesta and a BMW X5 were travelling south towards a junction with Curtis Lane. The Ford then collided with a red Honda CBF that was heading in the opposite direction. Emergency crews were called and sadly the motorcyclist passed away at the scene. All we know so far is that he was a man in his 30s and his family have been told.
And what can you tell us about the arrest?
Well, a woman in her 20s who was the driver of the Ford has been detained. She's being held on suspicion of drink driving and causing death by dangerous driving. Crash investigators are still very keen to hear from anyone who saw what happened or indeed the vehicles before the collision. The number to call with information is 01622 798 538. That's 01622 798 538. Or you can email sciu.td@kent.pnn.police.uk, quoting a reference number. We've also got a link within the story to upload any dash cam footage.
Thanks, Nicola. Another CCTV image has been released by police after a member of security staff was threatened with a knuckle duster at a Tesco store in Faversham. The victim was also racially abused after challenging two suspected shoplifters on Crescent Road 12 days ago. Eight people, including one from Kent, have been arrested over an alleged conspiracy to destroy ULEZ cameras. Met police searched a property on Sheppey as well as others in London and Windsor. Six men and two women remain in custody. Plans have emerged for 750 new homes on an orchard in Raynham that residents previously fought to save. The area either side of Pump Lane is included in Medway Council's new local plan despite a previous application for 1,200 homes on the site being rejected. There are concerns about the extra traffic it'll add to the roads. George Perfect is leader of the Conservative group at Medway Council. He's also the councillor for Raynham North.
Medway can only handle the housing that its infrastructure can cope with. And I know residents who have written to me, many had, hundreds of emails over the past few weeks about this, particularly since it was published last week, expressing that concern around critical infrastructure, including in my own ward, where there will be a significant building around the accessibility for residents who live in the communities already, let alone without adding 50,000 additional residents plus over the local plan period between now and 2041. And the other critical problem with all of this is a lot of the infrastructure planning that sits within the local plan, which is primarily funded through Section 106 developer contributions, is actually latter loaded. So it means that it will actually come towards the back end of the local plan period, towards 2041, as opposed to coming forward when some of the housing will be delivered in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I think as you say, for residents, roads will be a huge concern because one minor problem in one part of Medway just means the rest of Medway grinds to an absolute halt as someone who lives just off Lower Rainham Road. I know that all too well. I mean, what sort of roads, where do you think these road improvements will be needed if we did get funding for better infrastructure? What have you got in mind? What are the kind of the hot spots as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think you've highlighted one in Lower Rainham Road, but of course, the A2 Watling Street is also a critical access point. But of course, we've also got really primarily around the motorway junctions. So significant, we're going to have significant development towards the Hempstead side of obviously the developments around Capstone and Gibraltar Farm. But of course, at the other side of the authority out on Hoo, and I think our concern is how all of this links together. We have a bit of a challenge at the moment that there isn't a wholesale sort of review taking place of all of this in the realm, and we aren't seeing large scale investment into infrastructure. It will just be the development of a number of key roads and junctions. What we want to see really is new roads, new flyovers, new access points, and some real proper thinking from government and particularly National Highways in terms of how all of this can link together.
Kent Online News.
The number of people to cross the Channel to Kent in small boats in a single year has passed 20,000 in record time. 440 people made the journey in 8 vessels on Tuesday. That brings the total for 2025 to 20,422, up 50% on the same time last year. 10 cars and vans have been taken off the roads by police, cracking down on unsafe and illegal vehicles in Dartford. They were spotted in several locations yesterday and weren't insured. Another driver whose cars had defects was wanted in connection with a burglary and arrested. A Folkestone mum says it's vital parents know the signs of diabetes after her son was diagnosed when he was just 4 years old. Harry's dad also has type 1 of the condition and recognised he was displaying the typical symptoms. I've been chatting to Jess and Harry Jeffries.
I didn't spot the symptoms as well as his dad did. So his dad has type 1 diabetes. He was diagnosed when he was 11, so he's had it for 25 years. All the symptoms that Harry was exhibiting, I just thought he was going through a growth spurt or that he was nervous about starting, like leaving nursery and starting school. But he was more tired than usual. He was thirsty, really thirsty. He was getting up in the night and asking for a drink, which he had never done before. He was having to use the toilet more. Or having to get up in the night to go to the toilet as well. So, I mean, as well, the other symptoms, there are four T's for diabetes that you're meant to look out for, which is thirst, toilet, tired, and thin. Now, the only one I didn't really notice was thin, because he's always been quite lean anyway. So he's never been bigger for me to notice that. But he does look healthier since having insulin. So yeah, they're the four T's to look out for. And Harry was showing those symptoms for about 5 days, and then he said to me, and we test his blood sugars because luckily, well, I say luckily, we have a blood glucose monitor at home because of my husband. And we tested Harry's sugars, and they were very, very high. So my husband took him straight up to the hospital, up to A&E, and he was admitted there and then and given insulin straight away. But usually, by the time children are diagnosed, especially infants and young children, they are very, very, very poorly and like in resus. So because it's not routine testing at the moment for children to be given a blood glucose test when they present the four signs in the GP surgery. So it's only luckily, obviously, like I said, that my husband saw the signs and we had a blood glucose monitor at home that we could just do that test and get him seen straight away.
So that's interesting. If you hadn't had the ability to test yourself, it's likely that it would have gone unchecked and he might have found himself in serious danger.
So there's currently a petition being raised at the moment called Lila's Law, which is started by a family. I think they're further up north, whose toddler actually, she was seriously ill. She's no longer with us because it was missed because she wasn't tested, even though she presented all the symptoms. So it is. I'm so thankful to my husband, to Josh, for noticing the signs.
Harry, you might be able to let me know as well. Since you've been told that you've got type 1 diabetes, can you tell me how does that make you feel? How has it changed your life?
It makes me feel shaky, and sometimes it makes me feel sick and tired.
What else do you have to do?
I was having finger pricks, and I had to change my cord, and I have to change my sensor, and I put them in different places. But if I keep them in the same place, it'll get all bumpy, and I can never ever use it again.
Kind of, yeah. So Harry has, he started with finger pricks. I think it was 9 times a day, so to test his blood sugar levels, and then he was having 2 types of insulin, obviously injections throughout the day. But now he's got a continuous blood glucose monitor, which is his sensor, and he has an insulin pod. So he's got an insulin pump called the Omnipod, which talks to the sensor, so it keeps him.
Well, I don't have
His
to talk
levels
to each
going.
other.
So they communicate with each other so that your sugar levels stay in range, so that you don't get too high or too low. But it still doesn't. Obviously, he still has lows, don't you? Quite low and highs, but everything can change it, can't it? So when you feel happy or excited or when it's hot.
This weekend, Harry's doing a cycle with some friends from school to raise money for Breakthrough Type 1 Diabetes. They'll be travelling 7 kilometres from Seabrook to West Hythe.
Kent Online News.
New ANPR cameras have been installed to catch people driving through a bus gate in the Allington part of Maidstone. Residents have complained about people living in the Hermitage Park development using Chapelfield Way as a shortcut into town. It's only supposed to be a bus route. Anyone caught breaking the rules could now be fined £70. There are plans to turn the former headquarters of Canterbury City Council into a housing estate. Developers want to build 125 homes at the site on Military Road. If it's approved, the authority could make millions from the sale. A pub in Herne Bay has been criticised for denying service to a disabled woman with an assistance dog. Louisa Nassessian, who suffers from the symptoms of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, took her Shih Tzu Barley to the Saxon Shore Wetherspoons last Friday. She was told by staff that only assistance dogs with official accreditation are allowed in. A spokesperson has defended the decision, saying it's for safety reasons. A Medway woman says she wants to change the narrative about bully breed dogs after being verbally abused in the street. Olga Anderson has an American bulldog that was registered when the ban on XL bullies came into force. She started an Insta account sharing pics of Gunner to try and change opinions, and now has more than 300,000 followers. And Olga has been speaking to reporter Charlotte Phillips.
Gunner's an American bully, but because of the ban, he was very young when it came in, and DEFRA had said, just exempt them just in case. So that's what I did, anticipating that he would get taller, but he didn't. So he's actually a standard American bully, but now he's already exempt. I have to comply with the law, no matter what. I had small dogs and I had quite bad anxiety, and my friend suggested getting a large breed dog to get me out and about. So that's why I went for Gunner.
Would you be able to describe him? Well, what's he like?
So he's the best dog I've ever met, and I've owned a lot of dogs. He's unlike any dog I've ever had. He's gentle, he's emotionally intelligent, he's very, very soft. He's obsessed and fascinated with babies. And we realized this when our cat had kittens, and she kept asking him to come back in the room, come back in the room. She wouldn't give birth without him. And she let him around the kittens from day one, and he would lick them, clean them. When they cried, he would run and check on them.
Yeah, amazing. He seems to go against every kind of stereotype. I know you said he's not an actual
Every
bully, but
stereotype,
yeah.
every stereotype.
I've had a quick look through your account, and there's a lot of positive comments and people saying how cute he is, how lovely he is. What's your kind of experience been online with him?
When the ban was just happening, it was a lot of negativity, because I think a lot of people were just reading what the media said, and because of the attacks and stuff like that. However, after about 6 months of me consistently showing him walking around other dogs, around horses, kittens, every single animal, and also now in Kent he gets recognised, so people stop to say hello. So once that started happening, the positivity started coming through. It was after people saw his behaviour for themselves. Yeah, because I think in their head, when you think XL Billy, you've already got a picture in your head.
Yeah, aggressive. Yeah, but they're
And
not.
now people just see him for what he is, a regular family dog. Like some people have German Shepherds or Rottweilers that are a larger breed. They're just regular family dogs. It's the same as bullies.
Yeah, of course. And have you had any, when I say negative experiences, not with him, but with from other people? Have you had people cross the road, people
Oh,
standing next to
so
you?
many, so many. We had a lady pick up a huge cockapoo and cross over to the point where she nearly got herself run over. It's because of the muzzle, because before he had a muzzle, that didn't happen. Even though I make sure he wears colourful muzzles to make him look approachable. So we've had a lady pick up a cockapoo. We've had people shouting things at him, which is the worst. When they shout, devil dog, killer,
Oh
oh,
God.
how many children has he had for breakfast?
Oh
You
God.
know, things like that. It can get you down, but it also puts fire in my stomach that I am passionate about all dogs. But at the moment, I'm this breed, and I want people to know that, he's lovely and he's kind and he's gentle and he's not a threat or a danger to anyone.
Yeah, of course. And how often has that kind of happened? Has it got, was it worse
Um,
than
it got
bad?
it's got better over it's got better this year. But weekly.
Oh,
Weekly
wow.
will be different things. Yeah, different things. Especially like just little things you might not think about. So for example, he's not welcome at the groomer anymore.
Oh,
Not for
wow.
nail clippings, not for anything, because they say they're not insured for XL Bullies.
Right.
And so other dogs are allowed in coffee shops. I've been asked to leave.
Oh, really?
So many incidents like that.
Kent Online News. A pub on Sheppey has reopened after a £200,000 makeover. Harps Inn on Minster Road has recently been taken over by new landlord George Davies, who's running it on behalf of owners Punch Pubs. He wants to turn it into a food-led venue. You can see pictures of the revamp at Kent Online. The Pentagon Centre in Chatham will be celebrating its 50th birthday this weekend. Work's underway to try and boost trade at the site following a change in shopping habits in the last few decades. That includes opening a new healthy living centre on the top floor, hopefully encouraging patients to pop into stores while they're there. A four-foot-long iguana has been rescued after spending 3 days up a tree in Raynham. Blue managed to get out of his home in Parkwood through an unlocked conservatory door on Sunday. Experts put her owner in touch with a chainsaw carver who was able to climb the tree and bring her to safety.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu says doing the basics has helped her to return to form after reaching the third round at Wimbledon. She beat 2023 champion Marketa Vondrousova, who she previously lost to in Abu Dhabi earlier this year. That was when she didn't have a coach. She'll play world number one Aryna Sabalenka tomorrow. Cricket now, and Kent have managed to hang on for a draw against Northamptonshire in their latest county championship match. The visitors scored a record 722 runs in their first innings at Canterbury. They then had to try and bowl out Kent, who clung on until the end of the game. Staying with cricket, in England were facing a tough task to bowl out India on day two of their second test at Edgbaston. Kent Zach Crawley took a catch yesterday, but they struggled to take many wickets. India were due to resume on 310 for five. And in rugby, the British and Irish Lions have won their latest warm-up game in Australia. They beat Queensland Reds 52-12 in Brisbane. Kent's Alex Mitchell and Ben Earl started on the bench, with the scrum half coming on in the second half. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. You can also check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.